C1M. Number 7A.
Now, I want to take the first five subjects, but there is only an hour and a half left for it, and so I just try to feel my way to take that which seems at the moment to be the most important or necessary. The first subject, well, just a word in general. We have seen or considered that each subject of the chapter on marriage will give us as a subject those qualities, positive, good qualities, to which we should wed ourselves. And wedding ourselves to the qualities of the first subject or the second subject and so on, wedding ourselves to these qualities, we experience what the scriptural note tells us, namely that this wedding to pure affection lifts our standard of manhood higher. So, as we go on, let us just watch always this key note, this melody which recurs and recurs. What are the qualities which Mrs. Eddy presents as the first subject? As far as I see it, question 8, it is the quality within oneself to wed ourselves to a respect for moral and civil and legal law. He doesn't speak about spiritual law. You see, that's too high at the moment. That would be the ultimate. It's relative. She takes us there where we are and says, well, wed yourself inwardly to a respect of moral regulation, legal and moral provisions. She stipulates keeping the imperative commandments, but she stipulates the second set of commandments, not the first. You mean, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. You see, it's the second set. At the beginning of the chapter, she gives the concession to break the first set of the commandments. She says, you can be a creator. Marriage allows you to be a creator. It's breaking that commandment, thou shalt have no other God before you. Only at the end of the chapter she asks, the child will ask his parents, do you keep the first commandment? So we will see here, you see, that she takes the second set of commandments which touch more the moral regulations, and by using those, cultures in us a desire and a valuing of spiritual qualities until something in us says, all right, let's wed ourselves to the first set of the commandments. So here, to come back to the first subject, it is that point where we have respect for those moral and legal laws and regulations and commandments which have proved up to now through centuries that they were elevating society, that they were positive factors for civilization. That's why she speaks here of civilization and progress. Against that is the non-respect for these laws. Therefore, she speaks here of infidelity and adultery and so on. It's a non-respect. I don't know how you would say in English.
Disrespect.
Disrespect. Ah, wonderful. Disrespect of what has up to now been considered to be positive moral and legal laws. So she asks us to be a good citizen. She asks us to be a good citizen, to respect all those laws which have proven that they are giving stability to society. Speaks of the stability in society. And of those qualities, she says, now we come to question 9, where we always ask ourselves, what is the scriptural note in this subject? She says, well, this legal union, this keeping the covenant, you see, a covenant is a legal contract, a legal union. She says, as life, it civilizes. It brings better civilization, better stability to society. It has a civilizing effect on what? On the whole human race. Here she speaks of humankind, of all races of society, in general. She takes here man in its general sense and says, now, can you combine now an epitome for that whole thing? You see, can we now see the epitome, what she really wants to show? Well, the epitome is that through that respect of law, through the respect of a law of a covenant, through the respect of the laws, of moral laws and civil laws, and that through that respect, that's the first subject, that through that respect, there is something happening, namely the scriptural note, that keeping that union with those laws, keeping those laws, respecting those laws, it has a resurrecting effect, namely it civilizes. And it brings men to a higher, nearer to that state of being like an angel in heaven. It brings, what she says, a civilized human race. Is that tune, that melody clear? See, we always have the wedding to qualities, and then it shows that wedding to qualities has the effect of the scriptural note, namely that unity, that wedding to qualities, has always a sense of life as elevating, uplifting, exalting, and brings out always a higher sense of man, manhood. So here we see, I repeat, you will have seen that through. Well, for the moment, I just leave out the subtones. We see that the very fact that we make the concession to support and sustain and respect and obey the commandments, to obey laws of the nation, the laws of the moral laws. She doesn't speak of the health laws. See, she doesn't speak of the health laws. That's no concession. That wouldn't be a concession. But it's always those concessions which are for the advancement of spiritual good. So, respect for these laws have something in themselves, have a seed in themselves which blossoms out into higher civilization, better civilization, a more balanced civilization, stability in society, and brings to the whole human race, brings it a higher standard. So we can really see that, see now, man becomes creative. True sense of man becomes creative. The it shows that if we support that which the first subject tells us, the respect for law, that that has a creative, a generating effect, we become, we contribute, I can say it like this, we contribute to a higher state of society. Now, I take question 12. I leave out the subtones because they are quite clear. Take question 12 because I would like to give you the feel of how these subjects are not torn out of a whole system, but are the natural consequence of a system. So I want to compare now the first subject of prayer with the first subject of Atonement and Eucharist and the first subject of marriage. For what? Just as an illustration, and they are no more than just an illustration, to illustrate the connection, how the Word as the Word leads to the Word as the Christ, and as the Word as the Christ leads naturally to the Word as Christianity in marriage. I would like to stress that over and over as we go on this year, because these classifications of science, like the Word as the Word as Christ, Word as Christianity, Word as science, and so on, they are not watertight compartments, as John always taught us, but that one is just linking up to the other in a natural sequence. And I want to show you that natural sequence, so that this system and the matrix isn't something rigid and cold and abstract, but something very natural. Now, let me compare the first subject of these three chapters. In prayer, we have the reaching out to know God, the desire, the reaching out to know God as He is. That reaching out to know God as He is naturally demands, in the second chapter, that we give up, that's the sacrifice that comes in, that we give up our own sense of what God is, our own mythological sense, and give up that own sense of what God is, and are willing to be one with that sense of God which is God. Well, as we do that, you see, as we are willing to give up in ourselves that sense of God, of the personal sense of God, and are willing to be only bound, only atoned, only one with that sense which God is, then this cultures in us a quite a new mentality, namely that mentality which is willing to abide by mind, by the law of mind. And so, as in us that law abiding is cultured, we express it, we had it as respect for law, respect for moral and legal laws, and respect for the commandments of God. Can you see that? It's a natural development. Let me go over it again. First, in our desire and thought, we reach out and say, I want to know God as He is, and not as He is not. Well, that comes to the Atonement Eucharist, which says, all right, then bind yourselves to the law of mind and sacrifice your own sense of what God may be. Sacrifice your own concept and your own will what God or divinity is. Bind yourself only to the one mind. But in the measure as I bind myself to the law of the one mind, I become law-abiding. That's quite clear. I culture in me that unity with the one mind so that I become mind-like. And so I become law-abiding, law-fulfilling, law-respecting. Respect, translated to the human, it is respect for the laws that have been proved good and constructive and exalting and progressive and so on. And I become law-abiding. Now, it's very difficult. I always say, do this and do that. Now, I have no right to tell you do this or do that. But I can put it the other way around. I can say, it isn't a question what we would like to do and what we don't like to do. It is a question not of you and me. It is a question of how does the divine law function? And the first way it functions, it is the word. The word. Now, how does the word function? It functions as the word of the word, the word of the Christ, the word of Christianity, the word of science. But when I say that, it's just terms. It's just words. What does it mean? And if you remember what we said in the first hour about the new birth, see, it showed there that we only come to that infant Christianity, to that state of infant Christianity, only through the first two stages of desiring God as he is. Second, to be willing to give up, to sacrifice all that is unlike that God in our consciousness, in our thought, to sacrifice that concept in us which is not the exact likeness of God. And then it said, and that develops into an infant Christianity. And it there is a term in there which I am looking for. Oh yes, it is that you said, and thought is developed into an infant Christianity. You see, it becomes a law. It becomes an absolute law. That if, now, we know that. We know that Christianity is only the outcome of the Christ idea. It means that fulfilling the Word and the Christ means that we do enter, that we do inherit the third, Christianity. The third is always the outcome. It isn't so to say, a third additional effort. So here again, we see, as I reach out in my mind and have always in my desires that sense, oh, I would like to know God as he is. That comes to me in the second chapter as the demand to give up my own concept about God, my mythological concept about God. It demands that I atone with what mind is and bind myself as a law to that mind, as mind is. And as I do that, more and more of the false mind concept, false concept in me, in my mind, is ousted out. And as it is, the false concept is ousted out, naturally more and more that binding to the one law is established in me, is developed in me, that is law-abiding. That is a state of being law-abiding, law-respecting. That's Christianity, that's marriage. See, comes quite natural. It isn't In the whole matrix, isn't 16 stones cut out and put together? It is a flow. They are all connected. These 16 stones all come out of one infinite source. They are all connected. And what I would like to see that we could, within the next few years, culture that flow in the positive sense as well as afterwards in the negative sense, as Alice Barnett will show it to you one year, that wonderful negative sense, how to handle evil out of one source of negation. And so first, let's culture the positive sense of it. So, the third chapter, we can say, the more, therefore, I am one with the one mind through prayer and atonement and Eucharist, the more I am one with that one mind, the more I become mind-like, the more I become law-abiding, lawful. And therefore, what she shows here through the scriptural text, she says, and therefore, the more I become a molding and constructive influence for the world. See, now Christianity is the using, you see, where the effect is being shown. So we can see, we have that wonderful comfort and that wonderful mission, really, that we can see that when we come to Christianity, we are contributing to the world. Through what we have been culturing through the first and second chapter, comes now into an infant Christianity, contributing to the world. So, putting into in other terms, I could say, as I become one with mind through the stages of prayer and atonement and Eucharist, as I become one with mind, mind brings out in me the respect for law, the keeping of law, the keeping of the commandments. It awakens in me that respect for law, and makes me, through that process, makes me to contribute towards a lawful society, to a stability in society. Does that, well, you can't say no when I ask you, does that reason? Well, as I have taken this first subject, I want to take all the rest of them, just in this broad rhythmic round. The second subject, analyzing it, one just asks oneself, well, what are the qualities to which we have to wed ourselves? What has God joined together? What has God joined together? And we find at once that in the second subject, it is quite another joining together than in the first subject. The first subject was the legal union. Now comes the union of affection. I don't know how I can epitomize really those qualities in the second. I tried to call them the qualities of spiritual goodness or of spiritual affection, also the qualities of the pure heart. In it we find all those qualities, like to be loving, pure, tender, strong, to have pure affection, goodness and virtue, unselfishness, love, with a small s. See all those wonderful spiritual qualities of the heart which symbolize the spirit. These are the qualities. Therefore, what God has joined together, man should not put asunder, says, all right, be united with the qualities of affection, of pure affection. We want to summarize them all those wonderful qualities. It stands, she makes a great difference, it stands against those qualities which are not of pure affection, but of material affection. She speaks of beauty, wealth, or fame, all those things. She says, no, we shouldn't be wedded to those, that they cannot satisfy the cravings of the human heart, that only the union of those affections which are pure mentally, which are pure in heart, that only those qualities have, and now comes the scriptural note, you see, of life and truth. He says, uniting, wedding with those spiritual qualities have the effect of life, namely of enriching. They enrich. You get the fruits of spirit, you see. It shows that in Christianity one always has cause and effect, one always has the fruits of what one does. So wedding oneself to in thought and in life and in heart and in feelings to spiritual pure affection has a wonderful sense of enriching life. And life is here always depicted as that which enriches. It's gaining higher qualities. You see, gaining, you gain something. She speaks about enriching the nature, enlarging it, purifying and elevating it. It is not poured forth vainly, therefore it brings reward, you see, it's enriching. So, and it's enriching what? And we come to the tone of truth, and the tone of truth is here depicted as the human nature of the male and female. If she shows, therefore, now, if we take all that together into an epitome, we can see what she wants to show here in a short sentence. She says, wedding ourselves, wedding our heart to pure qualities like tenderness, loving kindness, purity, patience, pure affection, wedding ourselves with pure affections has an effect. It enriches life. It enriches and enriches and enlarges what? It enlarges the human nature. It enlarges the male qualities and the female qualities. It's there where she says how the masculine mind gains a higher tone, and a richer tone, a broader tone, a larger tone through the feminine qualities, and vice versa. It's showing us that law, see, we can put it, so to say, in a law, that we see that using, Christianity is the using the affections in its purity, free from material affection, using the affection in its purity, has in itself a wonderful law. It brings into action a divine law out of which springs a ritual life. A ritual life in which way? A ritual life that the manhood in me or the womanhood in me is gaining and gaining and gaining. That through pure affection, these, the nature of man, which is male and female in its pure sense, that the masculine nature and the feminine nature is gaining and gaining and gaining. Well, that means that more and more, really, we will express both qualities in one person.